song this morning based upon what we're going to look at in these opening comments. Every Sunday before Sunday school, we have some opening thought-provoking comments given on subjects to encourage each of us to later search out the scriptures on these topics. I want you to turn to John 11. And so we have about 7 to 10 minutes left, maybe 11 minutes, I don't know, to get to these comments. And this is stuff that you can think about, ponder, and on your own time, delve into a little deeper. And once I found out that I would be doing this portion of the service, I asked the Lord to help me with it. And, you know, he says, well, you got to keep it short. So, yeah, I'm not too good at that. But there's two-word sentences in the Bible. One is Jesus wept in John 11:35, which is our subject matter to this morning. And the other one is in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. And those are both standalone portions of scripture. Now, in the 11th chapter of John, you find the circumstances, if you want to call it that, that led up to Jesus weeping there in John 11:35. And it revolves around the death of Lazarus, Lazarus of Bethany. He was the brother of Mary and Martha. You'll find that out as you study that chapter. And we can learn a lot about Mary and Martha, the two sisters of Lazarus, but that's not a 10-minute study, so we won't go into that. But what we will consider today in our brief time is why here in this 11th chapter of John, Jesus wept. And there were manifold reasons why Jesus wept, and you'll see that as you study this out. If you're there in John 11, note what's said there in John 11:5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, the Apostle John, he wrote 5 books of the New Testament, the Gospel according to John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. But he didn't write anything till about 50 plus years after Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, go back in your mind 50 years and see what you recall. So you can see how magnanimous, I guess would be the right word to use, these events revolving around Jesus was, and how hard it was for an apostle of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, to pick up a pen and a paper or a quill and a parchment or whatever he had and write these things down, but he felt it was important to do so. And we'll get into the reason why we picked this here in a minute. We know from 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16, you don't have to turn there, John wrote this, that God is love. Well, Jesus is the epitome of love. And that word epitome means Jesus being manifest in the flesh is a summary of God's love. And that's the subject of love, and the love of God is not a 10-minute study either. Apostle John, 50 years to write about it, plus. We read a statement in 1 Timothy 3:16 concerning Jesus, and it says God was manifest in the flesh. God is love. In John 15, 13, it's only a couple chapters over from where we are in John 11, Jesus makes this statement to his disciples. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, back in John 11, we know Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were Jesus' friends, whom he loved dearly. I want you to look at the end of John 13, 1 for a minute, and then we'll get here back in here to John 11. He had 50 years plus to think about this when he wrote this about Jesus. You read this here in John 13, 1. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That means he loved them to the farthest extent. And included in this statement, which was spoken of concerning everyone that was around him, his disciples and so forth, it included Judas Iscariot. He loved him. But Jesus, Judas Iscariot never acknowledged Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But so that means Judas Iscariot was never saved. And the scripture points that out, and that's not a 10-minute study either. We talked about that in our class a while back. But still, Jesus loved him to the end. So the bounds of God's love and the bounds of Jesus' love are limitless, and they're truly undefinable. So back here in John 11, we find that Lazarus was sick, and John 11, 3 informs us, therefore his sisters sent unto Jesus, unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now we know that Lazarus died before Jesus was able to get to Bethany, where Lazarus lived and where he died. In fact, by the time that Jesus got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. But as you study this, you'll find out that Jesus knew before he even got to Bethany that Lazarus had died from his sickness. In fact, Jesus told his disciples before he got there in John 11, 14, Lazarus is dead. In John 11, 19, it says, and many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met them. But Mary sat still in the house. Verse 30, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Now there's a lot of grief on display here. And Jesus was deeply moved by this. There's a lot of other things we could say about this, but he was greatly moved by this. And that's part of what the word troubled means. Hebrews 4:15, you don't have to turn there, but it says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So simply put, our high priest, Jesus, is not cold and unfeeling, but rather he is abundantly qualified to sympathize with us in our grief, in our afflictions, our tests, and our trials. In short, as that one sign says on the billboard now, it says, he gets us. Yes, he does. He feels our pain. He knows how we feel. Thus we read in John 11:35, Jesus wept. I'm going to cut into Ty's time here for a minute. In John 11:36, it goes on to say, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Now Jesus here weeping was an outward display of his love. And oh, how he loves us. And so I want you to take the time to study this story. And as I researched this out and thought about it, at 3 o'clock in the morning, a couple days ago, I found something that I never before realized here. And the Apostle John was kind of like our brother Derek Cummings was to us these last 5 years. Remember, Derek was revived from death, and he came back with a statement, a mission from the Lord, and announced to us that what the Lord told him to tell us, how much Jesus loves us. Well, you look this up in your free time, your study time. No other writer of Scripture wrote more about the love of God than did the Apostle John. And I mean, it jumps out real quick when you look up the word love, loved, lovest, those kind of words. And you consider the books that John wrote and how much he wrote in those books about love. That's why we sang the song we sang today. It wasn't because I was real good at singing those high notes. I could have had Bob play it an octave lower or something, but at any rate. So, well, here's the end of the story. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in John 11:44. And I look at this differently now. This whole chapter about Lazarus and his sisters is a divine love story.